rest of the story. The angel of death came in through the closed door. At least it seemed to, like a yellowish mist crawling over the floor, then filling the room. The family inside the apartment fled to the street in panic, but the crawling mist was everywhere, like an expanding darkness that swallowed cars and buildings and blotted out street lamps, extinguished neon signs, making the world slowly disappear. A few doors down, in the movie theater, the same darkness silently engulfed itself, creeping down the aisles, engulfing theatergoers in their seats, obscuring the movie screen. The projectionist shut down the projector and ran, and then the dying began. One neighbor and then another, then 100, all through the long, lonely, terror-filled night. Next morning, when the sun should have come up, it did not, for by then the relentless darkness had spread throughout the city. A few automobiles slowly navigated the boulevards and byways, headlights ablaze, still invisible to one another. They collided. Dozens of ambulances carefully probed the persistent gloom like ghost ships adrift on a midnight sea. To keep them from running aground, assistants walked ahead, waving cautiously, and the death toll continued to rise. By early afternoon, the yellow blackness had enshrouded a 20-mile circle. It was lurking in every dimension within it. Trains sat cold and stiff on their tracks. No airplanes flew overhead. Pedestrians formed human chains, groping their way through the lethal, inexorable, palpable presence among them. People and animals collapsed and died where they stood, in the roads, in their homes, everywhere. And hospitals overflowed. And another day passed. Still no sign of its passing in the sky. And finally, on the fourth day of its onslaught, the dark angel slowly retreated. 4,000 citizens had perished in its wake. Another 4,000 would die of medical complications in the days to come as a result of the visitation. For this is the rest of the story. The invading enemy was air pollution. Air pollution. Extraordinary weather conditions during those dreadful December days in 1952 trapped poisonous smoke and fumes until they had inundated the entire city outdoors and indoors. And so terrible was the price that the citizens rose up and wrote and ratified that nation's milestone Clean Air Act 4 years later. So one seldom sees anymore the trademark atmosphere for which the city had been famous since Dickens lived there. The romanticized industrial waste that once lingered so heavily in the air. It had such a lovely ring to it before the lover turned killer. London fog. London fog. But now and forevermore, when you hear the phrase, you'll recall what it really was, and sometimes still is, and what it did to Londoners 4 decades ago, because now you know the rest of the story.